God is all wise. He is the only wise God. The God that the scriptures describe to us is amazing. All that God is and all that he does, we cannot grasp it completely with our finite minds. Even with the direct revelation of Scripture, written Scripture, God's Word, and with the Holy Spirit's illumination of that Word, we still struggle to understand even the basics of God. Not because of any inadequacy in Scripture, nor because of any inadequacy in the Holy Spirit's illumination of the Scripture, but because God is so immense. Because he is so wonderful, words cannot adequately describe the God that we adore. And the human mind cannot adequately grasp what God is in his fullness. He is the self-existent God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth, the whole universe, everything that exists, he created. This God who is further than the furthest star, and yet is nearer to us than even our closest friend. God is immanent. He is pure spirit. And we are in spirit like him a little bit, and in another way not like him at all. He's infinite. He is without parallel, without bounds and limits. He is eternal, omnipotent, present everywhere in time. He is no beginning, no end, always God, unchangeable, the only constant in the universe and beyond. What a God. Tonight, we study from the Bible the subject of the wisdom of God. God is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, and so on. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his wisdom. What is the wisdom / knowledge of God? Second point will be God's wisdom in creation. Thirdly, his wisdom and knowledge toward the Christian. And fourthly, his wisdom and knowledge concerning the sinner. Firstly, what is the wisdom / knowledge of God? Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is different from knowledge. Included in wisdom is knowledge. Because wisdom is knowledge used correctly. Knowledge applied correctly. So if a person has no knowledge whatsoever, they could not be wise, but because knowledge is wisdom is knowledge applied. God's wisdom is his knowledge properly, perfectly applied. God's wisdom is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his wisdom, there's no limits to his wisdom. There's no bounds to the wisdom of God. He's omniscient. He knows all things. His wisdom is eternal. It didn't begin, and it will never end. Without beginning and end, He never had to learn anything. And he will never forget anything. All possible and actual knowledge and data. God's knowledge is eternal, because he is eternal. God's knowledge and wisdom is unchangeable. It will never fade or change. It says in Acts chapter 15 and verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He already knew all works from the beginning. And in the Acts passage there, known unto God, it's a present indicative Greek verb. Present, he knows. Indicative, a simple statement of fact. It is a simple fact that God already knew all things before the beginning. It says in Psalm 147 verse 5 that we read, his understanding is infinite. The Hebrew word means his intelligence, his skill, his insight is infinite, without limits. Listen to a theologian talking about this. He knows to perfection and without qualification all things. All things visible and invisible in heaven and on earth, all spirits, thrones and dominions, in heaven and in hell, all matters, past, present and future. All the thoughts of every mind, all the words of every tongue, all the activities of every creature living and dead, all their purposes, all their plans, all their relationships, all their complexities and all their conspiracies, all physical and spiritual causes, all natural and supernatural forces, all real and contingent motions, all mysteries and all unuttered secrets, all true propositions as true and all false propositions as false, all valid conclusions as valid, all invalid conclusions as invalid. And he always has known them and always will know them. And this knowledge is related to the wisdom, to his wisdom, so that God judiciously employs his knowledge to accomplish perfectly his holy and just ends. This is just to say again that God knows everything. And that he employs what he knows wisely in a wisdom that is first pure, then peace-loving, considerate, and full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. James chapter 3 and verse 17. The reference in scripture is for what the man says. But God knows all things. In his infinite, eternal, unchangeable being, he is wisdom. But that God is all wise is hated by many, well, almost all natural men and women. But more than that, the doctrine that God is all wise, he knows everything and his knowledge is applied perfectly, is sadly hated in our day, in the last 10 years, by many who call themselves evangelicals. A man called Clark Pinnock, who I would not call an Arminian, because Arminians are most certainly saved people. But open theists, that's a different matter. And Clark Pinnock is an open theist, which is a very modern, that term is a modern way of expressing an ancient heresy. And he, listen to what he writes. This man professed to be an evangelical. He writes, he says this, God knows all, except the future actions of people. He knows everything except what human beings will do tomorrow or in an hour's time. He says surprises happen in history, and God's own knowledge takes account of them when they happen rather than before they happen. We see the future not as totally settled, and our assurance comes not from believing that God knows everything exhaustively, but from believing he has the wisdom to handle any surprises that might arise. He voluntarily limits his power so that we as creatures are able to decide things. End of quote. Heresy. Blatant heresy. The future acts of people God does not know. This is what the man teaches. And he's very popular. I thought the Lord Jesus said, Peter, before the cockerel crows three times, you'll deny me three times. He knew, didn't he? Before it happened. Paul the Apostle, or Saul as he was called, you will be a preacher to the Gentiles. God already knew that. Did God just guess that John the Baptist would be the forerunner to the Christ? Or did he know? But according to open theism, God is sometimes surprised by people. And then when he's surprised, he uses his wisdom to handle it. In other words, God reacts to the creatures who surprise him. That's really what he's saying. You see, I'm going to take open theism to its logical conclusion. And I'm not saying open theism is logical. What I'm saying is I'm using logic to take what they're saying to its silly conclusion. God reacts to his creatures that surprise him. God is therefore reactionary. And man is sovereign because God reacts. Because the sovereign person is the one in control, the one who acts. Isn't that right? And the subject is the one that reacts. So open theism teaches that God reacts to sovereign, sinful man's will. That is not true, of course, and it is very, very wrong. It is heresy. And that is what causes me to say that open theism, those that truly believe in that, that is another religion. That is not Christianity. It's a different religion worshipping a different God. Not the God of the Bible. Not the God of Scripture. But they worship an idol that they have made up. And their idol is the will of man, as absolutely free that it can even surprise a sovereign God. It is the worship of man and the worship of the will of man. Sinful man. Man's free will is the God of open theism. And Jehovah is subject to the react to the free will of sinful man. That's what they teach. And that is apostasy. Let me give you a quote of what Robert Raymond says about Pinnock. Pinnock's depiction of God's knowledge of the future in the light of hundreds of predictions that God makes about future events and specifically about his Messiah, quite frankly, places God within the ranks of the idols of this world, and makes God no better than a soothsayer or a fortune teller when he predicts the future. And it renders his prophecies at best wishful thinking. But for the God of the Bible, nothing relating to the future is uncertain. There is no future event that is only a possibility until it is actualized by the will of man. End of quote. The only logical conclusion you can therefore come to from what open theists say is that open theism leads to the deification of the will of man. It's not Christian. It's a complete contradiction of the teaching of the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 3. Hannah said, "The Lord is a God of knowledge." 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." He knows even the intents and motions of our heart. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, that great passage, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13 and 14. "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or been his counselor, or taught him? With whom took he counsel? Who instructed him? And taught him the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding." Verse 27 and 28. "What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, which is Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding." Israel, God's asking Israel in that passage, "Why are you saying my way is hid from God? That God doesn't know what you're doing? It's folly. There's no searching of the understanding and the wisdom of God." God knew all about it. He knows everything. His wisdom, his applied knowledge is perfect. It says in the book of Romans, in chapter 11, let me turn over to it. Romans chapter 11. Verse 33 and 34. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" What the Bible says of God's knowledge and wisdom, we cannot even grasp. To say that he doesn't know the future actions of his creatures is ridiculous. 1 John 3:20. "God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." God knows everything. He is the one who knows all secrets. It tells us in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28. So what is the wisdom and knowledge of God? God's wisdom is the perfect application of his knowledge. Now, let me come to the second point. God's knowledge, or a wisdom and knowledge, seen in the creation. We see the wisdom of God in the creation around us. God's knowledge is seen in a number of ways. Firstly, the variety in creation. Look at the variety there is in the creation in this world. The variety of animals. Mammals, fish, amphibians, birds and insects. But zoom in a little bit with a microscope. That's just general, isn't it? Let's take insects. Not including spiders, because they're not counted as insects. The study of insects is called entomology. And if you want to specialise in that, you can go into a particular area of the study of insects, let's say butterflies and moths, which is called Lepidoptera. Now we're right in now on a very narrow area, studying moths and butterflies. In Northern Ireland, there are between 27 and 28 different types of butterfly. That's not much compared. In England, there's over a couple of hundred. But in Northern Ireland, we have 27, 28, depends whether we've eliminated the last one or not. We have 570 different types of moth. That's not counting the little micro moths that you see, that's the bigger moths that are all different colours. And they're all different. Some fly in the day and some fly at night, and their diet all is varied. Look at the variety, just in that narrow area. Look at the variety in the plants and in the oceans and the rocks and in the clouds and in space. There is great variety. There is a tapestry of beauty in creation. And in it, surely we see the wisdom and knowledge of God in all this variety. We see also the wisdom of God in his plan of redemption. That is, of course, the most important, isn't it? What marvelous wisdom is contained there. That God can actually remain just and at the same time forgive and justify those that are unjust. That takes some wisdom, doesn't it? Through the substitutionary atonement of his perfect Son made flesh. In the cross of Jesus Christ is found all these things: justification and judgment, love and wrath, pardon and condemnation. Now, what human being could or would ever dream it up that the holy, perfect, just God, who hates sin, because he loved sinners, would substitute God the Son in order to save sinners? Even though the sinners hated him. But that's exactly what God does. And in the plan of redemption, we see the wisdom of God. No man could think it up. We see the wisdom of God in also his governing of the unreasoning creatures in this world. God governs everything by his wisdom. Look at the birds, for example. He directs them as they migrate. We have probably about 10 or 15 swallows nesting in outbuildings out the back, and they're all flying around our house at the minute. Soon they'll be flying all the way to Africa. They have no map to guide them, no radar, but they know where they're going. They don't even have reason as we know it. They're the unreasoning creatures of this world. God governs them in his wisdom. The bats that fly at night, they fly and they don't see a thing. But they see through their ears. They send out pulses, and the pulses of sound bounce off, whatever, and they see. God governs the unreasoning. The salmon that come back to the same river in which they were born, God governs them all in his wisdom, even though they are unreasoning creatures. Then God also, we see his wisdom in governing the governing of reasoning, sinful, wicked creatures. humanity. God overrules in this world. He overrules the politicians and the kings and the rulers. No, they don't know it at the time. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know it at the time, but he learned sooner or later. God governs all their wicked actions for his own glory. Psalm 76 verse 10, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Yes, the heathen may rage, and the people may imagine vain things, and the kings and the rulers may set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, but God, looking at them, laughs. And then he speaks to them in wrath. And as the psalmist says, he breaks their teeth. And their torment, even in the lake of fire, will be to the praise of the justice of God. God governs in his wisdom. What is the knowledge and wisdom of God? It's his omniscience. We see his knowledge in creation, in the variety of creatures, the plan of redemption, the governing of the unreasoning creatures, and the governing of the wicked creatures. Not one of God's plans will ever be thwarted by any wicked man or woman, by any rebellious scheme. That is the wisdom of God. Let me move thirdly to God's wisdom and the Christian. God's knowledge and wisdom brings the believer great comfort. Job 23 verse 10, Job says, he knoweth the way that I take. He knows. He knows your path. He knows where you are now, the way you take. He knows where you'll be tomorrow. He knows your life. He knows where you'll be next week. He knows where you work. He knows the day of your death. God completely surrounds your way. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, he's beset you behind and before. He knows everything about us so much that the psalmist says, such knowledge is too great for me. He knows your way. But it says in Psalm 103, Psalm 103 verses 13 and 14, listen to this. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows our makeup. He knows our frame, as the Bible says. He knows that you and I, we're just dust. He knows that. He knows our tiredness. He knows our weakness. He knows everything about us. He knows we're like the flower of the field that fades. We're like the grass that withers away. He knows all that, and yet he loves that grass, that flower, and considers it in all its weakness. God's wisdom in the Christian. God's wisdom on the Christian brings us great comfort. He knows the path. He knows what we are like. It says in Isaiah 65, he knows our prayers before we pray them. He really knows that in his wisdom. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. He knows all our prayers that we pray tonight. He knows the prayers we pray tomorrow. He knows the prayer you'll pray in 10 years' time. And he knows all the words of the last prayer you'll ever make here on earth. He already knows that. Numbers 32:23. Behold, it says, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. That's what God said to his people in Numbers 32:23. Because not only does he know all those other things, our prayers and everything, but he knows our sin. He knows our pride. He knows our wrong motives. He knows what we love and what we don't. He knows the dark side of you and the dark side that I have. And that is right before his face, because the darkness is as light before God. The wisdom of God and knowledge of God, he knows everything. David could not cover up his adultery and murder, neither can we hide our sin. God says to us, indeed to all mankind as well, be sure your sin will find you out. So don't sin, avoid the places of temptation, close to its evil way, close to its evil ways, your ear gate and your eye gate, as you walk through this vanity fair world. He knows your path. He knows what you're like. He knows our prayers before we pray them. He knows our sins. He knows all of this. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. And he knows how many hairs are on your head. God's knowledge in the believer is amazing. And it should bring great comfort. And knowing all this about you and me, he loves us still. Isn't that the amazing thing? Fourthly and lastly, God's wisdom and knowledge on the sinner or the unsaved person. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest or revealed, neither is there any creature that's not revealed in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. For anyone listening who's not saved, you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus and you're not a Christian, he knows you, sinner. He sees you. There's no hiding place ever in your whole life. You've never been hidden. You're before his face continually. He sees and he knows everything. He knows the wicked, it says in Hosea chapter 7 and verse 2. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their doings have beset them about. They are before my face, says God. The wicked don't even consider. They don't even give thought to. That's what that means. They don't even give it a thought. That God remembers all their sins. Everyone. And all their doings surround them. And they're right before God's face all the time. It says in a similar thing to that in the 90th Psalm in verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Your secret sins, unbeliever, are in broad daylight before God. But they never think of that. Their secret sins are seen in the blazing glory of God. And when a sinner realizes that, they have to admit and face the fact that we're in a hopeless position. I conclude, and I'll come back to that as I conclude. Let me summarize what I've said the wisdom of God. We do not worship a God who is surprised by what we might do tomorrow. We worship a God that knows all things, everything about us. What is God's wisdom and knowledge? It is the proper use of his knowledge, the proper application, and it's all knowledge. Secondly, we see God's wisdom in creation and the variety of creatures, in his plan of redemption, in his governing of unreasoning animals, and in his governing of reasoning wicked creatures, humans. Thirdly, we see his wisdom on the Christian. He knows our path. He knows what we're like. He knows our prayers before we pray them. He knows our sin. And he knows the number of hairs on our head. And his knowledge or wisdom on the sinner. He sees every sinner. He sees and remembers every sin, even the secret ones. So I exhort anyone listening who's not a Christian tonight to come under the new covenant. That's a different appeal, isn't it? Come under the new covenant. The new covenant of Jesus' body and blood. Trust in Jesus Christ. Have God's law, his word, written in your heart. Repent of sin and trust in Jesus Christ. Why do you say, come under the new covenant? Because it says in the book of Hebrews and chapter 10. Let me read it to you. Chapter 10, 16 and 17. These are the words of God. They are repeated from the book of Jeremiah. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. God, who knows all things, God who has all knowledge, who never forgets anything. For those that are under the new covenant, their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. God decides not to remember the sin of everyone who's in Christ. It's not he's forgetting it. He decides, I will no more remember them. That's why I say, come under the new covenant, because in Jesus Christ, your sins are gone. And even the omniscient God has decided not to remember them. God's wisdom is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. I ask you, do you know this God? Amen, and thanks for your attention this evening.